Mentioned in our previous year, there was the famous chain letter in Tavshim and Vav that the Rebbe wanted to go out to Klal Yisrael, that each person will mail to 10 people, and that 10 people will give to 10 people, and before you know it, there's thousands of people getting a message. And what's the message? The Rebbe wanted a message of Geula, of Emuna, and one part of the message was the importance of demanding Beis HaMikdash and Moshiach, and that was from the Radak. And the second part of the message is a vart from the Chida. Who is the Chida? When did he live? What was he involved with? The Chida is a very, very special person in our history. So let's first start with his name and when he lived. Chida is actually the Rosh Tevis of his name. That's how he would sign his letters with the word Chida. That's how he got his name. Chida is Chaim Yitzchak David Azulai. That was the name of the Chida. The Chida lived between the years 1724 and 1807. In other words, you know, he passed away a little bit over 200 years ago. He had a fascinating story. His life was fascinating. First and foremost, just to give you an idea, he wrote 71 Svarim, just to give you an idea of what type of person he was. But not just a prolific author of Svarim, he happened to be somebody that was well-versed and in many, many different inyonim. Because what was his story? He was born in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. He learned in Yerushalayim. He learned in Yonam of Kabbalah. Came from a Sephardish family. He learned in Yonam of Kabbalah, of Halacha. And already at 16 years old, he wrote his first Sefer. And, you know, he was very, very involved in his learning. When he was 29 years old, he was given the schus to go collect money. Now you have to understand that today, most people don't say, wow, this guy's a spiritual Jew, let him go collect money. But usually this guy is a person that knows about money, let him go collect money. But in time by gone, and we find this also by Rabbi Seinu Nisienu, there was a concept called a shadar, which means shlucha d'rabbana. And they would go around, and they had a job, in the words of our holy Rabbeim, that Zayin Ruchnius und Kleibin Gashmius. For example, the Groyse Chassidim of Hilopadachir and others, they were Shadars. They would travel to different communities. They would teach Chassidis. They would Fabreng, give over Maimorim. And they would collect money for the Nyonim of the Rabbeim, whatever the Inyim was. In other words, a Shadar was considered a very, very mechubedik inyan. And when the shadar of the Rebbe would come to a city, there would be no tachnun. There would be a whole fight. Who could host the one that's collecting money? Because he wasn't a collector. It was the Rebbe Shliach coming to collect money on behalf of the inyanim of the Rabbeim. So the shadar was a very, very high respected position. In Eretz Yisrael, they would have the same inyan. They would always, mizman lizman, send somebody to travel to Chutz Loretz to, first of all, collect money for the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, as well as inspire Yidden, you know, to wake up, Ur Yusheinu Mishinaschem, wake up from the slumber of Golos and think about. So, for 5 years, he pashut went around and he traveled. He was in Egypt, Italy, Germany, Holland, England, France, Sicily, Turkey, Syria. This Chida went everywhere. And that's what really, in hindsight, made him very unique. Because he used to go, whenever he would travel in these places, he would go to these rare book libraries. Old Genizas, for example, he was later on a Rav in Mitzrayim. And he would go to these places that Yidden had old Svarim and Genizas, and he came up with old Girsois and old Svarim. He pushed it because of his vast besides memory and knowledge, he Pasha traveled to so many different places. He was like the Jewish globetrotter. He went around the world and he brought back stories of people from all over. I mean, those days, you have to understand that Yidden were very, very non-mobile. If you were born in the shtetl, that's where you were. That was your country. That was your city. And this person had this broad, he saw communities, you know, north, west, east, south. He had such a wide yediyah. And he put together, you have over here, the Shem HaGdoilim, different Svarim. Svarim that people forgot about, that never knew. A lot of these different Svarim and the names and these, you know, oh, a lot of history stuff. The Seder Tanoim Vamaroyim, he was Magia. He Pashit, with his broad knowledge, he was Mechayim Mason to so many different communities. And he had such a respect. He would go to, they would bring him to the kings and the sultans and the, he Pashit, a very Mechubedika looking person, tall, beautiful person. And he was a tremendous Kiddushim Shamayim. And he eventually settles, I think he at the end, he settles in Italy, and that's where he is buried. In other words, that's where he ends up being. But either way, yeah, in Livorno, Italy, that's where he was taken care of, and that's where he ends up. But again, he died at 83 years old, and Pashid a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik, mekubal, and mekadesh shem shamayim. So that's who the Chidah was. But what was it that the Chidah said that was so inspiring that the Rebbe wanted that it should go out in a public letter to the entire world? So he said quoted an interesting medrash regarding Shemoyne Esrei. And I want to explain to you what he was saying. A very, very important vart, and something that we could all think about every time we daven Shemoyne Esrei, usually three times a day. In Shemoyne Esrei, it's a lot of bakoshes trochav. You're asking your personal requests from the Eibishter. You want das, you want to be a Chabad Chosid, Chochm bin of a das. You have a lot of things that you're asking from the Eibishter. We also want to be forgiven from our Avedis. Slach lono v'nu kichotonu. Now, the way Chachamim set up the davening is we ask the Eibishter and we tell him, give it to us because, come on, you could do it. For example, Slach lono v'nu kichotonu. Give us forgiveness. Why? Ki keil teiv asalachatur. You're such a God and such a forgiving Eibishter. So because you have this midah inside of you, a forgiveness, wouldn't it be nice if you forgave us as well? We ask the Eibishter for the refuah. We say, why should he do it? You're a merciful, caring, curing Eibishter. So if you have this midah inside of you, come on, give it to us as well. Why do you want a good year? You're an Eibishter that benches the, you know, brings good to the entire world. So we're always giving reasons, and the reason is because the Eibishter could do it, because the Eibishter has it. And Bechlau, you know, when you want to ask someone for anything, always nice to tell them how good they are and how kind they are. Imagine you come and tell somebody how generous they are for a few hours, then when you ask them for something, I'm not going to say no. He just heard how generous he is, so he's going to say no now. So you have to bring out the generosity, you bring out the milas, and that's what the Chachamim set up, the davening. Now, we have why Moshiach should come. Yeah? David The Eibishter should give us David HaMelech, which is Melech HaMoshiach. And then we give a reason. What's the reason why the Eibishter should give it to us? In other words, not always do we say ki. But in the brachas that we say ki, because, it's always because the Eibishter could. But here we say something else. Ki li shuascha kivinu kol ayoyim. Because we want it. because we're waiting for it, so therefore give it to us. Well, that's not usually a very good sales pitch. Give it to me because I want it. Okay, you want it, go get it. What type of key is it? What type of reason is it? If we say, give us refuah because you are a wonderful curing king, that makes sense. If we say, forgive us because you are a forgiving Eibishter, that's the key, that's the reason, that makes sense. Give us Moshiach, why? Key? Because we're waiting for it every day. Why is that a winning proposition? Why is that a good sales pitch? Why is that the reason of the tefillah of our request? And the Chida explains that from here we see that the power of being mekaveh and awaiting Moshiach is so true and so dear to the Eibishter that when we tell the Eibishter, give us Moshiach, b'schus hakiv, because we're waiting for it. Now think about it a second, if you want to take it a step deeper. The fact that in Tavshin Pei Beis, we are even talking, thinking about Moshiach, that we actually want Moshiach to come, the Eibishter should be impressed with that enough. After everything the Yidden have gone through, all the Golas, Tzaris, Truris, nevertheless, Kilishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayoyim, which we know Kol Hayoyim doesn't just mean Kol Yoyim every day. Kol Hayoyim means every part of every day. We are anticipating Moshiach. B'schus HaKivoy, in the schus of the awaiting and the yearning and desire for Moshiach alone, that itself is a reason to have Moshiach. And that's what we're telling the Eibishter. That B'schus HaKivoy, this inyan, B'schus HaKivoy, and the power of awaiting Moshiach, this the Chidah speaks about. And it's this message, again, these two nekudos, the nekudah of the Radak, of how you should be Teveya Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and the power of the Kivoy for Moshiach, that the Rebbe wants the entire Klal Yisrael to be awaiting.